You know, oftentimes our Lord, wishing to convey the message of salvation to us, preaches unto us by means of allegories, by means of types, by means of images, by means of metaphors, by means of parables. And we now find ourselves in the midst of the blessed period of preparation for the most holy time of the year, which is called the Holy and Great Lent, the period wherein we prepare ourselves for the resurrection of our Lord, the Feast of Feasts and the Festival of Festivals. And it is meet and right for us, since this is the central theme of our life, to be resurrected from sin, that we should have a preparation, which we call the Holy and Great Lent. And the Holy Fathers, in their wisdom, knowing that the mind of man is so prone to evil and to sin, to forgetfulness, and to stupidity, spiritual stupidity, tries to convey the message to us over and over again. Mayhaps at some point something will click in our mind and our heart, so that we will be able to understand the message which our Lord is trying to convey to us. We have then this preparatory period before Great Lent, which we call the Holy Triodion. The Triodion started last week with the gospel reading of the publican and the Pharisee, because our Lord came, as we know, to save sinners. And he was trying to teach us, both the righteous and the sinners, the proper way of praying. He wanted to bring us to the heart of the matter. He wanted to bring us to the essence of the matter. Because in the Old Testament, for the Jews, who were the Pharisees, the scribes, the lawyers, and so on and so forth, everything seemed to them to be superficial. Everything was superficial for them, rather. And they did not really, as we said, enter into the heart of the matter. They were trying to keep the law, and they didn't understand the purpose of the law. They followed, as St. Paul says, the letter of the law, but not the spirit of the law. And even in terms of the letter of the law, we know that their consciences were pricked by our Lord because they did not totally keep the letter of the law as they assumed. Because of their pride then, they became darkened in the mind and were not able to see themselves. They were not able to understand themselves. The Holy Fathers teach us self-knowledge. It's so necessary for us to follow the path of salvation. Self-knowledge, which means reality, which means humility. And there were two men that went into the temple to pray. The one was a Pharisee, the other was a publican. The Pharisee entered into the temple and had his head up, his nose up in the air, and the Pharisee was looking towards the earth from whence he was taken. For earth art thou, and unto earth shalt thou return, as we hear in the services of the Church and the Holy Scriptures. And the Pharisee had vain repetitions. He said, I thank thee, O Lord, that I am not like this man. And he pointed to the publican. How often when we are in church, how often do we look at others and not pay attention to ourselves? This means that we are not entering into the heart of the matter, to the essence of the matter, which is self-examination. When we are looking at the others, we're not giving ourselves a chance to look at ourselves. We get distracted. How often during the services do we hear, Proskomen, let us attend, trying to wake us up once again from the stupor, from that vain thinking. And this Pharisee thought he was doing the right thing, because he was, as we say in modern language, he was full of himself. He thought he had ideas concerning himself, that he was something very special. And he said, I fast twice in the week. I give alms to the poor. I tithe. One-tenth. Duendekato. One-tenth I give. And this is significant because our Lord is trying to tell us who are preparing for fasting that we don't go around saying, I fast twice in a week and then I tithe, I give one-tenth. Because according to St. Dorotheus of Gaza, the period of Great Lent is one-tenth. of the year. And what did the publican do? The publican was very simple. He didn't have any type of elaborate prayer. He looked to the ground. He did not dare gaze up his eyes to heaven. And he said, O God, be gracious to me, a sinner. The publican truly was a sinner. But the publican had entered into the heart of the matter. The publican fell on the ground and he beseeched God because he came to see himself. Unless we start to delve into the spiritual life, unless we start to beseech God for mercy, everything is superficial for us. We don't understand the great mystery of entering into ourselves, entering into the heart, seeing how filthy the heart is, and cleansing it of that filth by means of repentance. The publican then cleansed himself through this simple prayer. The Holy Fathers teach us the importance of the Jesus Prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. We confess that the Lord is Jesus Christ, and that he is the Son of God, and we beseech him to have mercy on me, a sinner. Our Lord tells us, seek ye first the heavenly kingdom, and all things shall be added to you. And this petition, have mercy on me, is that, precisely, seeking first the heavenly kingdom. Seeking the heavenly kingdom, we beseech our Lord to have mercy on us. St. Isaac the Syrian tells us, when we come to spiritual realization, we know that there is one thing that we need to ask God for, one thing which is in particular needful. And the one thing which is needful is God's mercy. It is for us to submit to the Lord and to be under the protection of his holy mercy and to have a recognition of our sinfulness. How many even of these secular organizations for people who have problems, for example, people who are alcoholics, and they say you have to admit that you have a problem. That's the first step. And it is the same in the spiritual life. So this is the spirit by which we enter into the period of preparation for Great Lent. The very first step. Understanding that the way that we pray is not a way of self-righteousness, is not a way of pointing fingers, but is the way of the publican, the prayer of the publican. Not the way of sin, but the way of a sincere heart. For a heart that is broken, humbled, God will not despise, as we hear in the 50th Psalm. Καρδία συντετριμένη και ταπεινωμένη ο Θεός σου και εξουδενώσει. With that in mind then, having this parable brought forward to us by our Lord, we enter into the second week, where we hear a very moving passage, the parable of the prodigal son. Why is it that in the hymnology of the church, in the prayers of the church, which are public prayers, continuously we hear, I have sinned before thee, O Lord, forgive me. This prayer, which is chanted by the chanters, is on behalf of every single one of us, because every single one has fallen away from our Lord. Every single one of us, to a greater or to a lesser degree, is a prodigal son. And we think of this in terms of periods of our life, where at one time we see that we turned away from God. But quite frankly, in their wisdom, the Holy Fathers make sure that we get this message every year, because we are continuously turning away from our purpose, continuously forgetting what our purpose is, our eternal salvation. We lose sight of what is the most important thing for us, our eternal salvation. Whether we are monastics or lay people, both are aiming for the same thing. The monastics have the protection, so to speak, of being in the monastery, of hearing the services, of being reminded over and over, of getting pricked in the conscience. That's why it's so important for us to understand the services of the church and to listen, because the services of the church can contain all the theology of the Orthodox faith. Return to God. This is today's message. Return to our Lord. This is what our Lord is telling us today. The man had two sons. The man, right away, we should know, is the God-man, our Lord. The older son, we know, is righteous. Because originally, man was made to be righteous, to be with God, to be enjoying the delights of paradise, which are nothing like the delights of this world, which are false and fleeting, and last for only a moment. And then we are left with anguish, with emptiness. But with God, he fills the void. And so this is the older brother who was following the rules of his father. He was very faithful, and he was out in the fields working all day long. And the younger son was the fallen man, the man who took of his father's wealth, that is, a rational mind, because God gives us freedom. That is the first gift. You can do what you want, but if you do what you want, you will have disastrous results. If your will is not in sync with the will of the Lord. The Lord's Prayer, which we say every day, we make a petition. We ask our Lord, thy will be done. Do we understand it? Do we mean it? And yet we ask for our Lord's will to be done, but we bring forth our own petitions. We want God to do our will. Take care of this, take care of that, take care of this. We act as if God is our servant, rather than saying, O Lord, I humbly submit to your will. Who is the Lord and who is the servant? And so he took of his father's wealth and he went to a faraway land, a land full of demons, a demon-infested world, which is the world that we live in. From the time of the fall of Adam, the demons fly around in the air, and it is a demon-infested world. And we, all of us, have our own demons to fight. Every single passion is a demon. But, as we heard in the epistle reading today, know ye not that ye are temples of the Holy Spirit? We need to find the pearl of great price which is within us. We need to dig for the treasure which is hidden within our hearts. And once we discover it, we will find illumination, light. Because this mind which God has given to us, if it is not illuminated, is irrational. It is not thinking clearly. It runs towards evil. And oftentimes it even realizes that the consequences will be bad, but it still runs towards evil. And our Lord tells us over and over again, wake up, my child, come back. Know what is best for you. Know what is bad for you. And yet, since we are slow, we need to be hit over the head a few times until we finally realize the message of our Lord. So this man goes to a faraway land. Nothing is right. He starts off with riotous living. He starts off with not following the commandments of the Lord. But finally, he starts to hunger. He finds a job working with swine. Swine, as you know, the way that their eyes are situated, cannot look upwards. They look downwards. And there's a whole art in terms of trying to get them to be quiet. They turn them around in order to get them to be quiet so that the swine can look upwards and realize there's something there. And he was feeding off the husks of the swine. And it was a disaster. The whole thing was a total disaster. Because he was away from his father, he had all the comforts he needed, he had everything he needed, and yet he ran away from his father. Slowly, he realized the emptiness which he had, and slowly he started to come to himself. And finally, it says in the scriptural reading, he came to himself. Because up to now he was outside of himself, living in riotous living. And as we said, it is so important for us to understand the mystery of entering into ourselves, entering into our hearts. A heart that is broken and humbled, God will not despise. When we are dealing with some type of sin, whatever the sin may be, we are either going to be humbled or we are going to fall into despair. When we fall into despair, it is a fruit of pride. We expect more from ourselves, perhaps, or we think that there's no hope, perhaps, but that's wrong. Our Lord wants us to understand that there is hope. He is the hope. And our Lord, in particular, says, I have come not for the righteous, but for the sinners. That means that we, as sinners, return to Him. That means that there's hope. That means that there's great hope. But a person cannot just sit back and think that there's no hope and fall into despair, because then his ruin becomes worse and worse, and it's a tragedy. What happens to such people is a tragedy. It's called engatadipsisteu, abandonment from God. This is why Christians apostatize. This is why monks leave monasteries. There's no other reason. It is because they have been abandoned by God. Because only by the grace of God are we Christians, only by the grace of God are we monastics, only by the grace of God do we wear this black. And as monastics and as Christians, we need to come to the point where we understand that we are incapable of living as true Christians. It's impossible for us. But it is totally possible for us with God. As St. Paul says, I can do all things in Christ Jesus. On our own, without God, we are totally incapable. But with God, we can work miracles, because it is not us, but the Lord who works the miracles. To be safe, then, we submit wholeheartedly to our Lord. We need to come to the point where our heart is broken. We need to come to the point where we say, Lord, forgive me, I have sinned. I truly have fallen away from you. We need to deal with our problems. We need to face ourselves, and we need to repent. Great Lent is not only the period of preparation for resurrection, for the Feast of Feasts and Festival of Festivals, but it is a period of repentance, because we cannot reach the resurrection without repentance. We cannot be uplifted without repentance. It is one and the same thing. Going through crucifixion, that is our period of epithymion, our period of repentance. When this man comes to himself, then he says to himself, I will return to my Father, and I will say, Father, I have sinned. The first thing, the right way of thinking. Divine grace illuminated his mind. Without divine grace, he wasn't thinking clearly. Finally, he came to himself. He started realizing how empty he was. He says, I will go back to my Father and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and I am not worthy to be called thy son. This is very similar to the mentality of the publican. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Receive me as one of your hired servants. For there are the slaves who walk on the path of salvation out of fear. There are the servants who walk along the path of salvation with hopes, with the hope of receiving eternal salvation. And there are sons who, out of love, return to their father and walk the path of salvation because they love God. This person is the son, but he asks to be received as a hired servant. And before he can say anything, the Father is waiting for him with a full embrace. He stretched out his hands. Do we remember last night in the Orthodox Luxasticon? The hymnographers make no mistakes when they write. Sometimes we can't make a connection. But in the Luxasticon, we heard concerning the return of the prodigal son. And when we make reference to our Lord, we say, O thou who didst stretch forth thy hands on the cross. Just as The Father stretched forth his arms to receive. And our Lord stretched forth his hands, his arms upon the cross in order to gather the nations, in order to gather us back to himself. This is what the Father does, the loving Father. Before the Son could even begin to make his repentance to be received, the Father waits to embrace him. And he makes merry. He is very happy because his son was lost and now is found. And he orders that a jubilation be made, that everybody be happy, that everybody dance for joy. And he orders that the fatted calf be slain. The fatted calf. We remember, of course, the references to our Lord, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. And he offers himself as a ransom for many. He offers himself as food. And Holy and Great Saturday, during the Year of Iquan, we will hear the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes to be slain and offered as food for the faithful. And this is our loving God. This is the Lord who says, I do not desire the death of a sinner, but that he should return and live. Let us then follow him. Let us then, now on the occasion of this yearly remembrance again of the Gospel of the Prodigal Son, make our return. Because if we come back to ourselves, if we return to ourselves, we will see, without a doubt, that there is something that needs to be corrected in every single one of us. Let us then correct ourselves so that in the right spirit we will embark upon this most blessed period of the Holy and Great Fast. Let us understand that this period of the fast is a period of repentance, a period of cleansing, a period wherein we are given the great blessings to be able to return to our Lord, to repent for all the sins which we have committed throughout the year. And then we will see, without a doubt, that our Lord awaits us even before we start our prayer, because he knows all things. Before we say anything, he knows what we're going to say. Before we were in our mother's wombs, he knew who we were. This Lord will be waiting for us with open arms outstretched in order to receive us into his heavenly kingdom, if only we follow the path of the righteous by means of repentance, by means of purification, by means of cleansing, never forgetting how much our loving Father loves us. And now, once again, as we said, we're so forgetful, we remind you we are in the Divine Liturgy. Let us attend, let us be attentive. Our whole life can change just by some attention in the Divine Liturgy. We can receive illumination. There is a descent of the Holy Spirit. Pay attention. Let us not be foolish. Let us enter into our hearts. Let us enter into ourselves. Let us see the filth that needs to be cleansed within our hearts. And let us beseech our Lord, and our Lord, who does not desire the death of a sinner, will certainly come and dwell in us, and live in us, and move in us. And he will raise us up. Now will I rise, saith the Lord. I will establish them in salvation. I will be made manifest therein. To our God be glory, and to the ages of ages. Amen.